Swinging spells down the street, same old decks we played last week. It's MTG in quarantine. We're all right. We're all right. MTG in quarantine podcast. Heyo, what is up, everybody? My name is MJ, and you are listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast, where our motto is EDH, community, now and always. As usual, before we get started here today, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine. So huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Bents, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Row for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine for more information. And did you know that I am a Quiver Time brand ambassador? If you didn't, now you know. You can go on over to quivertime.com, utilize my promo code MTGIQ in all lower caps. Again, that is MTGIQ at checkout for 10% off your order. Quiver Time makes an amazing bunch of products, including the classic Quiver Case, Bolt Case, Orion Playmat Tube, or just a bunch of other really cool stuff. So again, if you want to go pick up your own Quiver Time brand products, go on over, use my referral link in the description below, and again, use my promo code MTGIQ for 10% off your order. I am also an ambassador for Inked Gaming, so you can pick up your very own MTG in Quarantine playmat over at Inked Gaming. Again, that's INKEDgaming.com. Got truly awesome versions, both the fill color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look amazing. You're going to want one or both, and for you and all your friends. So again, you can go on over to Inked Gaming, that's INKEDgaming.com, for more information. You'll also find that link in the episode description below. Now that I've had your attention for the last 2 minutes with my silky radio announcer voice, on to today's episode. So today we're going to be talking about the kinds of players and the environment you're going to be seeing more likely at your pretty normal local game store. This is something that I think as more players have really started going back to their local game stores after the pandemic the last couple of years, has really kind of started to come back more in focus, especially in regards to the EDHC and how that has really exploded in the last couple of years, especially. So but in order to talk about that today, I am bringing on a brand new guest to the show, someone who has actually never been on a podcast before. So let them feel welcome. So I would like to introduce today's podcast episode guest, Lord Xavier. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, MJ. I'm very excited to be on my first ever kind of podcast kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing where, you know, it gets a lot easier with time. I'm not going to lie. Again, we did talk about this at the top of the episode, but, you know, really before we started recording the episode, that podcasting is the kind of thing where, you know, it feels really scary the first time you do it. You know, it's like, yeah, it's like, am I going to say the right thing? Am I going to say the wrong thing? Feel like you're on the hot seat. But after a little while, it gets super easy to do because it's just a conversation with cool people talking about cool stuff. And honestly, it gets a lot easier with time. But again, enough about what I think about podcasts. Let's talk about you. So let the good folks out there know who you are and what kind of content you make.
Absolutely. It's just like being back on stage in theater club all over again. At first, it's a bit scary, but after a while, you get used to it. So thank you for that introduction. Hello, my name is Steven. My name is Steven. I go by Lord Xavier online. I mainly am on TikTok right now, where I make attempt to do daily videos about just talking about certain cards or talk about new cards that come out with the sets that are coming out. I've been doing stuff with the Murders of Karlov Manor that's been coming out. I occasionally do live streams where I open up products and just go through all the cool cards that I get. And I've just started branching out, doing other social media things. I have a Twitter account. I'm starting a YouTube channel. I haven't posted anything yet, but eventually I'll be starting to do long form videos there. But mainly all that I do, TikTok and all that, that's mainly just a hobby. If for some reason in the future I somehow get mega popular, that'd be amazing. But right now I'm just happy where I am right now, just being an occasional content creator, I suppose.
Well, I mean, honestly, the fact that you make any kind of content at all, I think really qualifies you as a content creator. I think the term kind of gets bandied around there as like the top tier of content creators, especially the folks who are fortunate enough to be able to really make a lot of money off of this. But I think really the vast majority of us in the local community are really just happy to say you're a content creator if you make any kind of content. So, you know, as long as you're just doing anything, I think that right there qualifies you more than anything. So,
yeah. I definitely agree with that. It's just, you know, so sometimes you look at the bigger creators and you're like, oh, that's the goal. But I feel like that shouldn't be the goal. Like unless you're trying to like make it your absolute, like, this is what I'm going to do with my life, I'm going to do this for money, then yes. But if you're just like, I want to put some content on there, I want to expand my reaches within the greater community, and not just with the local community, but also like the global community, then I feel like just being happy with what you're doing is the way to go.
Mm-hmm. And I think that right there would actually be a really, really, really good Twitter post too, because I think that occasionally, you know, that thought kind of gets lost within the Twitter sphere. But anyway, yeah, we're going to move on to today's episode. So today, again, like I said a couple of minutes ago, we're going to be talking about the local LGS environment, specifically the kinds of players are going to see there, and also kind of the effect of the LGS and the quote-unquote random player, or, you know, just the random person you're going to find at the LGS to play in a pod with, how that may affect not only your gameplay style, but also might influence which decks or what kinds of decks you are going to take to your particular meta. Again, I'm not exactly sure where we're going to go in with this. I mean, it's an open conversation and all, but I'm sure we're also going to be touching on the pub stomping conundrum a little bit in some shape or form. I just guarantee that will come up at some point. But anyway, so let's just kind of set the scene here. So you are going to your local commander night at the closest game store you have. Let's say you probably haven't really been there before. Maybe you went there one time a couple of years ago. You're going back, or you've moved to a new town. You're going checking out your LGS for the first time. You're loading your Quiver Time case, again, totally sponsored, with four or five decks in there, maybe six if you're lucky. And you're going to go into your LGS some evening to play. How do you approach this particular situation? I think that's really where we need to start here, is how the LGS environment is going to affect the decks you are going to bring, knowing that you are going into a blind meta. Again, if anyone out there has been listening long enough, you know that I had Andy Flurry, formerly of the Guardian Project podcast, on here a few years ago to talk about the quote-unquote, and again, I'm doing the scare quotes here. I know no one can see me, but I'm doing them anyway. The content creator meta, effectively talking about playing EDH, and I mean, I guess a little bit of CDH as well in there, over spell table as entertainment. So EDH as entertainment. So that's a whole different episode, but I really think touches on how playing over the internet has really changed the concept of playing EDH. So we're going to be kind of skirting around that a little bit, I think, in this episode. We're going to really be talking about how the LGS would kind of differ, I guess, from online play without really talking it too much. But I know I'm talking too much. So, Steven, what would be your first line of thought regarding what kind of decks you're going to bring into a completely blind meta at your local LGS?
Well, I guess to answer this question, I should probably think back to when I first started going to my LGS. So just as a quick little like backstory thing, I moved to the area that I'm living in right now literally 2 weeks before the global shutdown happened in 2020. Like, we signed the lease for March 1st, and then by March 14th, everybody was saying, stay in your homes, don't go out unless you're an essential worker and all that. So really for the good first year or so, we didn't really actually explore much of our local town or anything like that. And it was only after a while, when things started to settle down, that I actually managed to find my local game store that I go to now. Shout out to Lake Geneva Games in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Hi, everybody. And so when I first started going there to play, EDH. It was a little bit of a, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? It was a little bit of a, you know, kind of that feeling, if you remember that feeling, like when you first trying to dive into the deep end of a pool the first time, that uncertainty of how things are going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, I had actually played at the LGS a little bit prior to me going for Commander Night, because I had started getting into my local community by doing the drafting format at the tail end of Innistrad Midnight Hunt going into Crimson Vow. That's how I actually started interacting to my LGS, really. So I had a small bit of an idea of like the kinds of people I might see there, but that's for a draft environment. That's different than going in, you know, with people with their decks that they've already made, and they know how their deck functions, as opposed to a draft environment where you don't really know how your deck's going to go until you build it. So going in, I guess what I was looking for I really wanted to play, so mainly what I was looking for was an open pod. But the types of people that I was looking for is, you know, I suppose like the more relaxed, reserved type of energy that the pod had, because there were definitely people in their pods that were like, you know, they were shouting and they were really into it, or they were getting into a discussion about rules interactions and all of that. And meanwhile, I'm just over here like, I haven't played a single game of Commander in over a decade. I'd really like to be able to just find people who are just going to let me vibe with this new deck that I've built, and let me test it out and see how things go. And so I did eventually find a pod. Can't remember who all was in it, because, again, this was a few years ago now. But I do remember just sitting down, playing my deck, testing it out, figuring out how it was going, and having a feeling of like, this is what I've been missing for the past decade. Like, this is the kind of camaraderie that I remember when I first started playing Magic. This makes me feel, you know, welcome. This is fun. This is relaxing. This is just a nice hobby that I'm enjoying with hopefully new friends. So yeah, I would say if you're going to your LGS for the first time to play, look for the people that are, you know, have sort of like a neutral / welcoming energy. And then if, depending on how your play style is versus other people's play styles, then work your ways up to joining to the CEDH table with your Urza Lord High Artificer deck and screaming and shouting that you're getting a turn 4 win or something like that.
Okay. So we've kind of started with the vibe check here, right? But again, we may be saying that, well, if you're new to the LGS, and let's say a lot of the folks who go there, which kind of seems to be normal, know each other, so they're always podding up, and you're just kind of standing there trying to find just any group that looks like they're about to start a game. And I think that right there is also something that has to be brought into consideration here, too, is the fact that unless you're an extreme extrovert and you really like walking up to strangers, a lot of us actually really struggle with going up to random strangers asking if they need a fourth. I know that I do struggle with that personally as well, especially when you don't know anyone there, and it makes it very challenging. So, again, there's some element of, you know, also just being desperate enough to find someone to play, too. So it can definitely go in all ways, I would see.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that. Because, like I said, I would describe my personality as like more like an extroverted introvert. Like, I can be the extroverted kind of person. It doesn't really bother me that much. But a lot of times, you know, you do that in this type of situation, I would do that to like get my foot in the door, and then after a while, then I kind of want to fall back into that, okay, these are the people that I have played with, these are the people that I like playing with, so I kind of want to stick close to them as often as possible before branching out to trying to be extroverted again and joining new people.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And that's the kind of thing that takes several times going out there to actually be able to accomplish. It's very difficult to find that level of comfort in your first time being there, especially if you really don't know what you're expecting or you're a new player. You know, it can be very, very, very overwhelming, just the entire scene. One of my more recent LGSs was just a huge, you know, commander night, and there is 100 people there. And you have a certain amount of space, but it's extremely loud there. It's very distracting in some cases, too. It's, you know, you're trying to find people to play with while you're also wading through the tables as well. And it can be a very challenging experience depending on where you're playing, how many people are there, how much space is there, what else is going on in this particular area. And it can be a lot to take in, especially if this is a story you've never been to before. And it's a challenge, and takes a while to get used to. And that's why it's really nice to sometimes be able to have people to to go with. But if you don't have that option, it can be very challenging. So I, I'm not trying to say don't go to your LGS, but again, there are a lot of factors that go into, well, not really your willingness to go, but also that ability to stick, I would say. And I think that's one of the things where, again, just kind of flipping this concept on its head here, is talking about how Spell Table has kind of allowed us to try to circumvent this possibility as well. It's like it allows you to just find people to play with when you want to online, where you don't necessarily have those same societal pressures. And I would definitely say that there's a huge difference between playing online and playing in person. But again, that is just my little aside here. We're going to go back into the LGS environment here. So let's say you have been at your LGS a couple of times. You know a few people you don't hate playing with, let's say. And you're going to fill your Quiver Time case, again sponsored, with a bunch of decks. And what really is your mindset going into that particular process?
So, a lot of the people that I know that play not only at the LGS, but just like in general, they will have a few decks built at a time. Like one of my friends, he'll have at most 5 or 6 decks built at a time. After a while, he'll either won't play a deck for a while, or it doesn't interest him as much anymore, and then he'll take it apart so that way he can build a new deck, and then he just brings those 6 decks with him to wherever he's playing, and that's what he's bringing. I, on the other hand, I'm the kind of person that I'll update a deck, but I'll never actually take a deck apart. Like, I still have my very first commander deck that I've built well over a decade ago. It's absolute garbage. I very rarely bring it out to actually play. It's more so like, this is the first deck I've ever built. You know, it's nice to see how far I've come. But in terms of me, like, and if you know me and you've seen me at Lake Geneva Games, I have what the people at the store call a Nezuko box, which is actually one of those big rectangle backpacks that is technically supposed to be like for board games and stuff, but I just filled it with pretty much every single one of my commander decks, other than like, you know, some pre-cons or my very old, very underpowered original deck that I built. And so that way I have a whole wide range of decks that I can play against people. Like, all of my decks range from, if you care about parallels, they range from a 3 to a 7. So I've got that wide middle, you know, I want to play it, you know, somebody's like, I want to play a low power game, or I'm testing this deck out for the first time, then I'd be like, cool, I will grab my, you know, power level 4 Space Family Goblinson dice rolling deck, and that way we can have, you know, we can see what your deck can do and you can play out your turns. Meanwhile, if somebody's like, I want to play something a little bit more high powered, but not necessarily at the CEDH level, but I do kind of want to be a little bit mean, then I can say, cool, here's my Toxrill the Corrosive deck that will slowly kill all of your board states while I amass a giant slug army. Let's go. So my philosophy for that is, like, I like having that wide variety of decks. That way, whether I'm playing with people that I know and the regulars at the store, and I could just be like, okay, you're gonna be playing that, that, and that. Okay, cool. Here's this deck. Let's go. Or if there are new people or people that I haven't really played with that often, and then I can bring out one of my lower power decks to kind of ease my way into, like, here's the kind of decks that I build. You know, if we want to go a little bit more high power, I've got more options. Otherwise, we can just stay right here. Also, a thing that I like about bringing so many decks to the LGS is that occasionally somebody will be like, I actually don't want to play any of my decks. Does anybody have a deck that I can borrow? And I'd be like, hey, here's all the decks that I have. What are you looking for? What kind of decks do you like to play? Do you have a certain power level or a theme that you like? I probably have a deck that will most likely be of a good service to you if you want to borrow it for a game or two. So I guess being able to have that many kind of decks on your person, as opposed to someone who say, oh, I only have three decks with me, and they're all either Gishath, Urza, or one of the Eldrazi decks. My lowest power is an 8 kind of thing. So that's where I'm at in terms of what I bring to the LGS. Wide variety, that way I can play any kind of game, and I'm not really limiting myself for the other people that I play with.
Kind of going off of that, and again, another shout out to John from the Gemstone Mine for being on an episode of this podcast a couple years ago about the great thing about having flexible decks at all different levels of optimization. So shout out there. But yeah, I think going off of that, have you really ever had an experience at the LGS where you feel like you just don't have the kind of deck available to deal with a particular player or pod?
Oh boy, do I have a story. So
everyone does. So we got
to
hear this.
Everyone
now.
Does. So when I first started going to the regular Saturday night Commander free-for-all events that my game store hosts, I want to say this was like the third or fourth time I ever went for a Commander night. So I only had like two or three Commander decks, including my original very bad, very terrible Commander deck. There was a pod open at the time. Someone had just stopped playing. So it was me and three other people. The two other people and myself, we were all playing, you know, low tier, not very optimized. You know, this is a very silly concept kind of deck. And this one person, you mentioned it towards the start of the episode, but we're talking about it now. This person, I feel, is the definition of a pub stomper. Because this person only brought one deck with them. And this was a deck, I don't remember the commander, but this was a deck that was consistently, like, we played three or four games within an hour. Mm-hmm. Because this person was consistently getting turn three or turn four infinite walking ballista victories.
Uh-huh. Sounds familiar.
And the last game we played, I remember, we weren't able to interact with, nobody had anything in their hand at the times that he kept pulling off this combo to interact. I remember I had an instant that I could look at his hand and make him discard a card. And he had just drawn his entire deck into his hand, and he was going to win that turn. So I was looking through his entire deck, and it was full of very powerful cards. And the problem that I had was, you know, getting back into the EDH environment, I don't know what pieces he needs to make his combo work. He already had his walking ballista out on the field, so it's not like I could make him discard it. So I had to find the one, and he told me, you know, there's one card in the hand that you have to discard, otherwise I'm gonna win. Of course, I'm not gonna tell you what it is, but there's one card, and so I picked the card that I thought would impede his momentum. And he said, cool, I'll discard this, I'll play this other card that's the one you should have discarded, and then I will instantly win by dealing infinite damage. And we were all like, cool, that was your fourth win in less than an hour. Magic is fun. And then after that, he actually ended up packing up and his group left. And then joined into another pod, and we had a much lower level kind of gay where people were actually able to go into double digits with their turns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, this is the kind of story that we hear way too often, and unfortunately is one of the detractors, I would say, that LGS playing has, because unfortunately it's, and I don't want to ever badmouth an LGS, but unfortunately you're going to have those elements who, as this person you are describing, are just going to be there without really any regard for anyone else they're playing with. And I don't want to judge people based on this, but it's really better to, you know, not be a jerk, right? You want to make sure that you're having an enjoyable time. But again, as you see on the content sphere as well, you want your opponents to also have an enjoyable time too, and just don't be a jerk. And we all have those stories of just getting our faces kicked in at the LGS. I have my story, which I will not go into here, where I was seriously considering never going back to EDH Night for something very similar to what you were describing. So it happens to all of us, and I think it makes us better players in just in the fact that we don't want to be like that. That it basically caps our understanding of, well, actually, it caps what we are willing to do to go for a victory, I would say, and kind of reduces that intensity, if that's fair to say anyway. It's like we don't, it's like we would like to try to win. We're playing EDH in some cases to try and win, but we don't want to win that way. Is that fair to say?
I would say that is fair to say. You know, you're playing a multiplayer game. Obviously, you want to, the objective is to win. That would be the quote, air quotes again, quote unquote, main objective in an EDH game. But I feel like beyond that, there's other aspects that go into having an enjoyable EDH game, you know. And part of those is, you know, having other people pop off, not just you doing your thing while everybody else is just playing solitaire, basically. You know, you want to be able to make sure that not only do other people enjoy the game, but that they want to play more games. Mm-hmm. In a way that it's like, you know, there's people wanting to play more games that they really, because they enjoy your company, they enjoy your decks, they enjoy the environment that you bring to the setting. And then there's the, I want to play this again because I swear I'm going to beat this person this time. We want to try and avoid that second one.
Yep, this is also the reason why I refuse to build Talrand Oops All Counterspells dot deck, just personally.
Oh, goodness.
Because I've run into that situation before with other people doing that kind of thing. It's like, yeah, this doesn't even seem fun for me to want to play, so why would I ever build that? But again, that's just...
That's exact. I was thinking that too, because just a little side tangent. I've been thinking about building a mono blue deck for a while, and I was like, well, I don't want to do Urza, and I don't want to do all counters. That's silly. And I was looking through, I was like, oh, I was also thinking of doing a non-singleton kind of deck, so I'll do Bruvok with Persistent Petitioners. That seems like a fun thing.
I have many thoughts on this, and it's not great, but please continue.
Well, yeah, it was just like, building off what you were saying there about specific, you know, limiting yourself in the kinds of decks that you're building. Like, my philosophy when it comes to building a deck is like, I'm the kind of person who likes to build a deck around a theme or a specific like interaction more so than I like to build, you know, stuff that's borderline CEDH, if that makes sense. Like, I just finished building, a deck, you know, part of the thing that I do on my TikTok is once a month I build a new commander deck. And the one that I just built this month was Kibo Uktabi Prince from Jumpstart 2022. Mm-hmm. It's monkeys and apes, and I'm giving everybody bananas.
Mm-hmm. Kibo is always fun.
And it's a fun thing. And it's like, so when I first started getting back into Magic the Gathering, it was actually because they had announced the first D&D related set, the Adventures in the Forgotten Realms set. And I had wanted to build a commander deck from that set because they had that was the set that introduced the class enchantments, you know, for all the different classes in D&D. Because when I play D&D, I'm the wizard main. I always play a wizard, basically. So I wanted to build a deck with that. And I was looking through all the different legendaries and I was like, man, none of these really are speaking out to me. And then at the very bottom of the list, I saw Xanathar Guild Kingpin. And I'm looking at it and it's like, wow, Xanathar is such a big name in D&D. I kind of want to build that. And so if you've ever played against Xanathar, typically the kind of decks that you play, you know, the kind of games you play against Xanathar are heavily rely on his ability of taking your opponent's decks and playing them as your own, basically. And there is a little bit of that in the deck, but mostly it's just Dungeons and Dragons tribal. I want to roll dice, I want to venture into the dungeon, and I want to play all these cool things like, hey, here's Tasha's hideous laughter, or here's a wizard's spell book, or one of these days I'm going to assemble all three of the pieces and summon Vecna. That's kind of where my philosophy lies in terms of deck building. And that's not to say that I don't have like higher powered, like borderline CEDH decks planned in mind. Like one of the decks that I want, that I'm going to be building this year at some point, is Thalia and the Gitrog Monster. And I feel like that should be enough said, but if you haven't played against the commander, it's a lot of your opponent's creatures enter the battlefield tapped, and they're non-basic lands. Thalia and the Gitrog Monster has first strike and death touch, and a lot of the decks that you play against, like there's like one Thalia in the Gitrog Monster deck that I played against had a combo where I forget the name of the creature, but it's a white creature that players can only play one spell per turn. And so if they had that out, people were only able to cast out one creature again on their turns. And then on their turn, they would play Shieldred Whispering One, where your opponents have to sacrifice a creature at the beginning of their upkeep, and then they board wiped. I think they played an Ingaruk's Wake to board wipe all the opponent's creatures. So, you know, you got to play a creature, but then on your next upkeep, you have to sacrifice it. So that's more like the exception than the rule for the kind of decks that I build. But I feel like, you know, I do kind of want to at least experience the higher power, higher plays kind of decks. But most of the time, I'm going to be like, let me bring out my Runo Strongkirk deck, and I'll just throw a bunch of sea monsters at you, because that's funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so again, just coming back from what you've said here, would that kind of deck be the sort of thing you would willingly take to your LGS for a Commander Night, knowing that it could also potentially be a feel bads if you end up in mashed up with the wrong pod here? I think that's really where we're going with this episode is, you know, we've all had that pub stomping experience, but is that the kind of deck that you are also willing to build yourself and take, knowing that that could also happen the other way too?
Well, I suppose the good thing about my LGS is that, I don't know exactly how other LGSs do their Commander Nights kind of thing. I don't know if people like, here, you know, here's a sign-in sheet or anything, or like, here, sit at this pod because it's open. It's mainly just, as I stated before, you know, it's EDH free-for-all, so anybody's able to come in and, you know, sit at a table. And we don't always limit our pods to four people. Sometimes we'll have three people if there's only three people available, or five, or the most that we've had is I participated in an 8-player double-headed giant commander pod with Plane Chase. That was a fun day. So the kind of pods, you know, and that's another reason why I would like to bring as many decks as possible, is because, you know, there's always that randomness. But in terms of like if whenever I build Thalia and the Gitrog Monster, will I bring that? Yes, I will, but only because there are enough players who come to Commander Nights that they will typically group together, and they will they're the kind of people that actually go out to like CEDH tournaments. So they know their things. Like they've got their decks of, you know, proxied tier. Like if they actually had the decks, they would be like probably $1,000 plus in actual money. But, you know, they're the players that come and they play higher level stuff. And so they would be the people that I would play my Thalia and the Gitrog Monster deck against. I wouldn't go to a table that's got like Merfolk, an Unfinity Commander, and werewolves and say, okay, all your stuff is going to enter tapped. I'm going to get all this extra value. And basically, I'm going to play solitaire while you sit and watch me. I would never pull that out against one of those casual tables. But when I build the deck and there's a seat open with the players who are playing those power level 9, power level 10 decks, then I'll be like, hell yeah, this is my first time doing this kind of thing. Let me throw my hat in the ring, see how this goes.
Definitely. And I think that's really the important takeaway from this episode is, again, be smart when you're choosing decks. It's okay to build the highly optimized particular decks, as you just mentioned, but always read the room, know who you're playing with, and be willing to push that deck aside and try something else for the good of the table. And also, I can guarantee, and I can go on record here by saying that I could easily build an extremely janky deck that would do absolutely nothing for $1,000. I guarantee I could find a way to do that. So, just because...
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I get that feeling, too. This is a little tangent. I was thinking about building a deck that had all the Zodiac creatures, like, you know, Zodiac Dragon, Zodiac Monkey, and all that, because I just put a Zodiac Monkey in my Kibo deck. Uh-huh. So I'm like, this would be a fun thing. Zodiac Dragon is over $400. So I looked at that and went, okay, no, I'm not going to... The most I've ever spent on a Magic the Gathering card is to buy a Metal Worker for like $120. I will never spend that much or more for a single Magic the Gathering card ever again. So never gonna, unless somehow down the line Zodiac Dragon ever gets a reprint like Imperial Seal got reprinted in Double Masters 2022, that deck's never gonna happen. It would be a fun, janky deck, but I'm not gonna spend that much money for something like that.
Okay. So back to the LGS conversation here. What would you say are some of the great things about playing at your LGS in from personal experience? And what are some of the things that are less than great about playing with at your local LGS? I think that really understanding the concept of, we've talked about who the players are, who you're probably going to run into at your LGS, kind of doing the vibe check, making sure you have a deck that really fits in with, you know, hopefully at least fits in with the folks that you're playing with, and trying to also make sure that you can invite it back. But, what are just some of the other elements that are great and not so great about playing your local LGS, just to get the whole picture?
Well, I will start a bit with on the negative side here, because it's something that I think we have been discussing a little bit prior to this, and that's the inconsistency of Commander Night. You know, not everybody is always going to be at Commander Night all the time. Like, at my local game store, there are people who aren't there a lot of time because they're off to college, they're college age students, or, you know, they're too far away and the weather's bad, or they're just busy that day. And so there are nights at the game, at the LGS, where, as you stated before, like, it's super loud, every table is full, there's standing room only, and people are just jumping at the bit to get into a game. And sometimes you go to the game store and there's only one pod of players that are playing at a much higher level than you're playing at, and the only other people that are there are playing a different format because it's, you know, a free to play event. You can do whatever you want. So I would say the biggest downside of playing at the LGS is that level of inconsistency of you're not exactly sure what you're going to get when you go. Sometimes it could be really busy and you have your cream of the crop, pick of the litter kind of thing, where you can pick and choose where you want to play. And sometimes there's just enough people to play and the deck's kind of mishmash, but you kind of have to make it work. Otherwise, you just kind of wasted your evening going out and not being able to actually play. So the inconsistency of the attendance at an LGS, I say, would be the worst thing about it. That being said, on the opposite side, one of my favorite things about playing at the LGS is how much it's actually, you know, stimulated the creativeness in me. Because when you play with enough people a certain amount of times and they have kind of like the certain, you know, specific decks or play styles that they lean towards, it kind of gets your creative juices playing going. It's like, okay, I play against this person a lot. They like this commander a bunch, and so, and none of my decks that I have currently really can do anything about that. Let me try and build something that can counteract what they're doing, and then that way I can stand a better chance against the decks that they're playing. Like, for example, one of the people that I play with often at the LGS, they have a Gearson commander deck. Gearson is the Izzet legendary creature from one of the Warhammer precons, where if a source you control deals exactly one damage to opponent, Gearson adds an additional 2 damage. And when with the introduction of Lost Caverns of Ixalan and Roaming Throne, he's calculated out where that if he names humans and he has a couple of his other pingers that are humans on his field, Gearson on his own would deal 3 damage. The damage would be 3, but if he has like 1 or 2 other humans on the field, he can make it so that one instance of damage turns into 10 damage. So when you play against that a couple of times, you get a real sense for what the deck does, and you're like, okay, I should probably have a way to counteract the Izzet player who's able to just, burn us to death pretty quickly. I should probably have some more interaction in my deck to counter the Roaming Throne before it enters. Or I should play some more board wipes to reset the board if he ever gets too crazy and he's about to start popping off. So being able to play against people enough in your LGS, or just, playing against a bunch of different people who have such a wide variety of play styles and commanders that they like to run, it really stimulates your brain and gets you thinking about the kind of decks that you play and how your decks interact with those decks. And that's like the main thing that I was thinking of when I originally pitched this idea to you, is that the kind of decks that the people that you play with enough and how that stimulates your play style.
Yeah, it definitely does, but I feel like that's not necessarily tied to the LGS exclusively, though. You could easily have your own playgroup where you don't get together at the LGS and have the same thing. So, it kind of goes always, honestly. It happens. And I will answer the question myself. What is so great about the LGS is I just really, after playing online so much the last couple years, going and playing in person is just nice as a change of pace for me personally. I do like just going out there, playing against people I don't know on occasion. And again, I have gotten burned many times due to this too, just with bad pod management or just a bad threat assessment. And again, I'm not going to go into that one. But it's like, for good or for ill, it's just nice to get out and play. Also, because you're LGS, we want to make sure that they stay in business, because let's be honest, it's hard to necessarily be able to get friends at your living room or your kitchen table to be able to play. So LGSs are nice to be able to have because they are there. Let's make sure that we keep their lights on, as well as we buy booster packs and cards from the expensive case every once in a while, just to let them know that we want to be able to keep playing there, especially if there's not an entry fee requirement for the particular commander event. This is also a reason I'm also going to shout out some of your commander parties that they're now doing with every set release. I went to the one for LCI. I missed pre-release, unfortunately, but I was at least able to go to the commander party, and I had a lot of fun being able to do that. I had a bunch of promos and other cool stuff that they were giving out. This is the kind of event that I feel like more people, if you have the opportunity, should go take advantage of, because those stores are hosting these events because they want to make money, but also because they really need to stay open. So definitely go do that if you are able and you have the financial ability to do so. Definitely make sure to go buy your stuff from your stores. But again, the negative thing, as you did say there earlier, is you're right, the inconsistency at the LGS is kind of frustrating, especially if you don't necessarily know the people you're going to be playing with. I've definitely had those moments where I go to the LGS, I have a bunch of decks in my quiver case, again sponsored, and you don't necessarily have exactly what those folks are looking for. I personally build a lot of just fun, super casual decks, because that's where I feel like I can really allow my allow myself to flex my deck building muscles. I have some, you know, lower tier combo decks, or it's like I have a combo in here, I'm not looking for it kind of thing. Maybe a deck or two that can punch up a weight class, and I have full-blown CDH as well. But I don't really have any of those, like, super optimized kinds of decks. So unfortunately, that's kind of where I've kind of fallen off a little bit with, you know, do I have something that can play in that kind of pod? And that's definitely something that is in my mind when I do pack a quiver case going to an event. Is do I really have the contingencies for all sorts of things? Because again, what's really nice about Spell Table is you can really kind of fudge that a little bit, I would say. But when you're in person, you really have to, I mean, you have to interact with the people the entire time. You have to seem locked in. And I think that's something that Spell Table is kind of allowed us to be a little bit lazy about personally, is you just kind of go in expecting that all the expectations are there. And again, I'm not going to go into Rule Zero and all that. I've done many better episodes on that. So go check those out if you're interested. But yes, I think that just the intensiveness which you have to bring to the Eldritch environment, just being present, honestly, I think is something that doesn't necessarily get said enough. It's like you have to be paying attention to what is going on. You really have to be diligent. Unfortunately, you don't have the Scryfall feature where you can kind of quote-unquote cheat by being able to actually see what cards do. It's very difficult to keep track of cards in person, honestly. Going any con or going to your LGS, you always have to ask, what does that card do? And it's very difficult, I would say, to be able to really keep track of everything, especially when you are in an extremely loud room, as we've said over the last many, many, many minutes here, is that some things can kind of get lost in the shuffle. Potentially, you'll have folks who are a little bit less than willing to cooperate on certain things. It's just a very, very different experience than playing online, where you kind of have some of that work done for you. And I'm not going to say playing online or playing LGS is better or worse. I just think that they both have their strengths and weaknesses. And one of the biggest weaknesses I have for the LGS personally is you just really have to stay locked in, I would say. Because again, you're also focusing on people's facial expressions, you know, other sorts of things like that, which you don't necessarily have to worry about over Spell Tables. So, and then also, again, the inconsistency comes back here. You don't know who's going to be there. You really don't know what you're getting into, especially if you're jumping in. It's like, hey, do you want to play a game? Well, typically, if you're just by yourself and there's three people sitting at a table and you just want to play, you're probably going to jump into that pod. But again, you don't necessarily know what you're jumping into, and that can be a challenge all on its own. Same thing with conventions, especially, where that you kind of take that exact same problem, you crank it up to 11 like in Spinal Tap, and you really have no clue what you're walking into, especially at the free play area. So again, that's my little aside here. But yes, LGSs have great things. There's also some not so great things, but I personally think that the LGS experience in the negative here honestly ends up just being more just about social dynamics than it really does about the store, unless the store you're going to really is not curating things well. But I would like to be optimistic that your store is doing the best that they can, and that it's usually just bad social dynamics that leads to these particular kinds of play styles, but also possible pub stomping as well, is that there's really no way to curtail that sort of thing. Unfortunately, as much as we would like to have a fix-all button for pub stomping, we really can't do that, right? So, yeah, there's a lot to be said going both ways, but I like to be optimistic that I do enjoy going to my LGS. I really need to be going more often. I'm just lazy, but that is just me personally. But again, there is that element also of I've never really gone to Commander Night at this LGS. I have no idea what to expect. I don't know anyone. And it's certainly a psychological, for lack of better terms, of kind of a psych out in a way. Have you ever really encountered that kind of nervousness about going to a situation, even though you know it's probably going to be fine?
I'm trying to think, because most of the time, like, I never really went to an LGS like regularly until I moved out here and started going to the one that I go to now. So really,
yeah, think about that first time. Just think about that first time you went there. Was there any nervousness that you just didn't have the kind of decks, you just didn't know what you were walking into, just the general anxiety, I would say?
I would say it trying to remember all the way back, you know, all the way back in the far off year of 2021.
No, it was a long time ago, honestly. I don't blame you.
Time is a weird soup, man.
it is. It really is.
I know. I feel like for me personally, there was a little bit of I don't necessarily know what to expect, but I feel like it was tempered a bit because, as I said, before I went to play Commander, I had done a couple of, you know, Friday Night Magic, you know, FNM drafts. So I kind of got a sense for like the atmosphere a little bit before I went back and started playing Commander. So, but in terms of like looking at it strictly from a Commander player, I would definitely say, yes, I did have some that level of anxiety of, I don't really know these people. I don't know if the deck that I built is any good. I don't know if, you know, I'm going to get pub stomped or be the pub stomper. I don't want that to be my first impression. I don't want that of, you know, of me to these people. So I'm just, you know, gonna toss my hat in the ring and hope that everything worked out well. And, you know, 3 years down the road, I can definitely say that it's worked out for me.
Fair enough. And this is also the point of the podcast episode where I really urge everyone out there, and I mean everyone, to try CDH out for the first time. I think that really digging into that community or even just giving it a try kind of, I don't want to say necessarily dispels the rumors around that end of the format, but I think also kind of helps folks understand really just every level of Commander, because at that point you can say, I have the max end of the format here available. I will bring that out in games where there is complete understanding, but also just be willing to walk away from a situation where you know something bad might happen and you just don't want to be that person. And also, CDH folks are extremely friendly in most cases. They want to have good games. They want to enjoy that part of the format. And I think that at game stores like I had, where you had very flourishing CDH scenes, were extremely nice because, again, unfortunately, you weren't able to play with everyone. Not everyone brings a CDH deck or wants to play against that. But there's also a shared understanding that you're all going to push everything to 11. Again, I say that for the second time because everyone wants that kind of experience. But it also reduces the amount of feel bads, I would say, just in my personal experience, because you know what you're getting into, which kind of reduces the inconsistency as we've been talking about this whole episode. It's like, it's the one constant that you can't possibly say there's a mismatch between decks because everyone is really going all out. And you're probably going to be seeing the typical stuff in the meta. But again, outside of that, there is definitely a lot of uncertainty, again, as to what you're getting into at the LGS, especially if you're going to one where you haven't been there before at all and you just have no idea what to expect. And again, I think this really goes back into what you're saying, is that if you're nervous about going to your local LGS and you have the means and the time to be able to do so, maybe just sit in on a pre-release, or if they have a draft, just any kind of little event like that, and just see how you really mesh with the place, the staff, and with the players who show up, because that may tell you this is a great place to play. Or maybe if you have the means to go to another LGS, maybe it's time to check out something else. So again, just going back to everything we said at the beginning of the episode, just talking about that vibe check. That right there is extremely important in this whole thing, because you want to make sure that if you're going to an LGS that you really like being there. My particular example with having a very, very good CEDH team was really nice, because I started to get to meet the players. I knew them, they knew me, and we were just looking for CEDH games. So I would go to the LGS specifically looking for CEDH games. And I mean, obviously I had my Quiver time, again, sponsored. I say that for like the fifth time, but I mean it. Definitely check that stuff out. But I made sure to take a variety of decks just in case I got into a more casual game that I wouldn't just be SOL, right? That I went specifically for CDH, but if there weren't any pods available and I couldn't find any of the folks I was playing with, I would still be able to play Commander. And again, that goes back to the flexibility of decks, but also just the feeling comfortable going to your LGS environment and not being afraid to just find random people to play with if you can't play with the folks you're trying to play with in the first place. So I really think that this is a very complicated answer. And again, we can't easily answer everything about the LGS environment. It really ends up coming down to your personal preference and also just a lot of factors that are outside of your control. Again, this makes it very different from Spell Table, where it seems like everyone has a somewhat descriptive explanation on their Spell Table game of what they would like to see in that particular pod, versus just walking into an LGS and just hoping that you're not going to get your ass kicked, honestly. So, you know, just things like that. It's a very different social dynamic. I know that I'm going to have to drop the explicit tag on my own show because I am a doofus, but oh well, such is life. Anyway, yeah, so I think we've really done a solid job of explaining where the LGS is, kind of how the dynamics play into it, some of the great things about it, and also some of the things that are not so great about it. Again, we've gone over Pub Stomp stories, but we've also really had a chance to talk about just the great things that LGSs provide here. And I'm always going to stump for the LGS because, again, you might be able to play at your kitchen table, but odds are you probably need to go find other players to play with. And LGSs are a great place to be able to do that. And again, if you have the means and the ability to do so, I think everyone out there should try to get to their local LGS and at least try to play it out. It may not work out the best. We all have those stories, but definitely get out there if you can. Buy product from them. Go to a pre-release. Go to Commander Night if you can. And just support the LGS community as much as you can. And yeah, I really think that's where we can end today's episode on is... try to go to your LGS, support your LGS in whatever ways you can. And, within reason, of course. You don't have to go buy the next collector booster box if you don't have the means to do so. That is not what I'm trying to say. It's just, you know, buy some packs here and there. Buy some cards out of the expensive case. One of my favorite commander decks actually got built because I found a commander in the commander case that I had not even intentionally gone to get. I just saw it there, thought, hey, what the heck, and it turns out it's one of my favorite decks now. So, you know, you never know what will happen when you step into the LGS. But anyway, we have reached our time here for the episode. I want to give you a chance, Steven, to have just any parting thoughts on this topic, and then we're going to go into the outros.
Absolutely. Final thoughts on this, just kind of reiterating the things that you said, definitely go out and... First, find your local LGS. If you've never been to an LGS in your area or in a neighboring area, definitely look up where they are at. Maybe take a weekend if you got a free weekend, drive down there or go with some friends, check it out, see what kind of cards or games that they have available, what kind of events that they sponsor, see if there's anything there that is to your liking, and if there is, then definitely go check that out. And if there's not, maybe just go. Look to see at another LGS. You might have to hop around a little bit and do some window shopping before you find the one that really meshes well with you. And to also reiterate, yes, always do your best to support the local game stores within reason. You don't need to buy a whole box of... You don't need to buy multiple boxes of Commander Masters or Double Masters 2022 collector packs. Getting a few... draft packs that you can have a draft with your friends at your kitchen table is definitely fine enough. And I suppose that's it. One final thing I would like to say is that always make sure, you know, whether you have a great experience playing Commander at your LGS, whether you unintentionally get pub stomped because, you know, you just didn't have the best night, you know, Magic is always a game of random chance at the end of the day. But always make sure that always remember the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Put out the energy into your LGS you want to receive back. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to get the energy will be matched. So if you go in with an open mind, positive attitude, I'm here to have some fun. Let's do this. 9 times out of 10, you're going to find what you're looking for. So support the LGS.
Yep, definitely. And I just came up with a really, really sappy catchphrase. You can't demonic tutor for player kindness. So I'll just leave it there. Anyway, Stephen, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. It's been awesome having you. I hope you enjoyed your first podcast.
I did enjoy being on here. Thank you for inviting me. I will say, it did catch me a little off guard because I just thought you were like, hey, I just want, give me some ideas to talk about. And I suggested it on your Twitter. And then a little bit later, you DM me. It's like, hey, so are you available to talk about this? Like, oh, I was not expecting this outcome. But I'm really glad that I got this opportunity and maybe hopefully looking forward to doing something again in the future. I definitely feel like there's more to talk about in terms of Magic as a whole.
Oh, there's a ton of stuff. I mean, how else do content creators get content? There is so many levels to this game. It's just like Shrek and his onions, honestly. There's just layers upon layers upon layers.
Commander has layers.
Effectively, yes. And that's also not a great way to start a college paper, which I am actually guilty of doing. So, but we are not going to talk about that today. Give everyone out there, all the great folks listening out there, a shout out to who you are and what you do.
All right. Once again, my name is Steven. I'm Lord Xavier on the interwebs. You can find me on TikTok, on Twitter. Eventually, you'll find me on YouTube. Shout out to Lake Geneva Games. Go to their website, lakegenevagames.com, see what they've got. Drive out there if you've got the chance, if you're in the area or if you're just visiting. Definitely give it a nice wave hello, stop on by. Hopefully I'll see you there, and maybe we'll play some Commander together.
All right, and I'm going to have the link to all of your content in the episode description below, so definitely go check that out. Also, I think you're going to be at MC Chicago, correct?
That is true. I am going to be at MC Chicago at the end of February. It is a local event for me, so I will be able to go there. If you see somebody walking around with a big black rectangle box strapped to their back, that's most likely me. Come find me and we'll play some Commander games.
Okay. And I will also be at MC Chicago at the end of February. I'm an invited content creator there. So again, if you want to find me, I'm still trying to figure out my cosplay plans. So I can't really say anything to that as of now, but I will be wearing my logo shirt or my Secret Lair jersey, either or. Please come find me, you know, poke me within reason, of course. Even if I'm playing a game, if anyone out there is going to be at MC Chicago, please say hi. I always hate hearing those messages about, oh, hey, I didn't see you at the event. No, seriously, I mean it. If you see me, come say hello. I mean it. So, again, within reason, of course, but you know, if you've tapped me on the shoulder while I'm playing a game, I don't care. I just want to see cool people and meet people who I've especially never met before. But who listened to the show. But anyway, so my aside here, you can all find all of my episodes, especially the ones I've mentioned here on the podcast, but just all of the 250-plus episodes I've done in the history of MTG and Quarantine on the usual podcast outlets. That's going to be your Googles, Apple, Spotify, PlayerFM, Rockcast, Podcast, Overcast, Breaker, and a million others. I honestly don't remember all of the podcast outlets. There seem to be more out there every day. But if it's a major podcast outlet, you can probably find my content on there. You can also find all my content on Twitter at MTG in Quarantine, on Instagram, on TikTok. I just released a very funny video yesterday, at least yesterday as of recording time here, regarding tournament play and the inevitable 0-5 day one at a tournament, which actually did happen to me, which is why I recorded that particular video. So go check that out if you're interested. And yeah, I think since we've reached the end of the episode here, I would like to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtgandquarantine. So you round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Row for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtgandquarantine for more information. And again, you've been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.